I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. The cleanup has begun. Pumps are moving water out of the city of New Orleans, but engineers concede it will take weeks to drain the billions of gallons of water. The Pentagon is sending 5,000 paratroopers with small boats to help with search and rescue efforts. The city is becoming increasingly dangerous. Mayor Nagin says the water, already putrid with sewage and decaying bodies, could be carrying disease. And there's been the added danger of leaking gas lines and fires that are burning across the city. The mayor says there is no longer an option. Those who remain in the Crescent City must leave now. But what of those who've already left the flooded city? Those who are still trying to cope with the loss of homes and loved ones? NPR's Farai Chidea is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and she joins us now. Farai, welcome. I know you traveled down yesterday. Give us a sense of an overview when you got there, what you saw.
Well, first of all, we flew into Jackson, Mississippi, which is well above the highly affected areas, but it is still full of evacuees. You know, we stopped to buy food and water because we didn't know how many supplies we would need going further south. And the shelves of the store we went to were half bare. There was empty water boxes all over the place. People were still stocking up because a lot of them in Jackson and throughout the South, they're sheltering other people, they're sheltering families, they're sheltering strangers in some cases. And, you know, in the lines, we heard a lot of people talking about, well, yeah, I'm from New Orleans, what am I going to do? You know, the whole South is filled with displaced people who at this point are essentially homeless. You know, they're living by the grace of strangers, and there's just a sort of it's not desperation, but there's an anxiety that just diffuses the air because people honestly don't know what's going to happen to them.
Farai, give me a sense of what most surprised you when you got there. Often we can't get the full scope of it by watching it on television.
Well, you know, I guess what struck me, I wouldn't say surprise, but what struck me was the massive mobilization of infrastructure that we saw. We drove south on Highway 55 from Jackson towards Baton Rouge, and we saw huge military convoys, you know, just trucks and trucks and trucks carrying everything from jet fuel to, you know, no doubt military vehicles to aid in trying to restore order in the city. We also saw huge container trucks that were full of supplies going to the people who were evacuated. So after what many people have criticized as an extremely slow federal response, it seems as if, you know, help is finally heading towards people who need it.
Farai, one of the most striking things that I've noticed in all of this is we still have many, many family members who are separated and many people who just have no idea what has happened to family and friends. I'm sure you've heard those stories along the way.
I have. You know, actually, we're staying at the house. We should mention that we're staying at the house of a lovely family in Baton Rouge because there are no hotels. The evacuees have taken all of the hotels, and pretty much all of NPR's reporters and most other reporters are staying with private families who've opened their homes to us. And the son in this family, who's 13 years old, just reunited two families. He was volunteering yesterday, and he used his cell phone, to make some calls and to reunite some families. So that's an example of, you know, first of all, the fact that a lot of these evacuated families really are caught out, but that the generosity of the people in all of these towns is prevalent. And I also want to add that Baton Rouge, which is generally a city of 500,000 people, is now 1 million people. Literally 500,000 people have come in to try to figure out what to do next. And the city is, you know, we're staying in a lovely division with beautiful trees and large homes, but, you know, I'm sleeping on an air mattress, and our producer, Tashima Walker, is sleeping on a couch because this house is already full of people who have been displaced to make room for other family members. So it's all a catch-as-catch-can situation. And meanwhile, in Los Angeles, I have a family from Louisiana staying in my home. So we're all pitching in as best we can.
What of the sense of volunteerism? We're seeing so much of the great human spirit when we hear these stories.
Well, you know, people, what we were hearing today from the head of the household, a woman named Bernie, is that she just hasn't slept in days. You know, she's been volunteering. And meanwhile, she's trying to make sure that her children have a fairly normal existence and are able to go to school and, you know, not be too traumatized by this. But people just aren't sleeping. First of all, I think the emotional fallout from some of the images, a lot of people have mentioned Oprah Winfrey's live broadcast from the Superdome, and just the devastation in there, the bodies in there, the fact that she went in there because of her celebrity and her access, she was able to gain entrance. But she also put herself at a huge, you know, physical and emotional risk to bring the story to America that just how poorly people fared in this evacuation, and that, you know, the evacuation in some cases turned out to be more dangerous than the conditions that they were in before. The fact that there were murders and rapes in the Superdome, I think, is a great shame.
Fry, quickly, with less than a minute to go, do you get a sense of anger from many of these people by virtue of what you just talked about, how many of them had been treated?
What I find interesting is that the people who I have found, and we have not yet gotten to New Orleans, we're going there on the way today, the people who have been most angry are people watching from afar. The people who we have seen thus far have been more confused or resigned or sad, I think, because they're just trying to process what's going on in their lives right now.
All right, NPR's Farai Chidea, who we should note will be on the road the next couple of days with our producer, Tashima Walker, bringing us stories along the road. Farai, thanks so much, and we'll look forward to your report for tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Ed.